Good morning. We welcome you to the Let the Bible Speak program. This morning, we want to talk about the Lordship of Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul writes, "For our citizenship is in heaven, whence also we wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." You know, a lot of people today speak of Jesus as their Lord and Savior without actually submitting to Jesus as their Lord. I think a lot of people think about Jesus as their Savior, but not as their Lord, someone who rules over them with rules and regulations and law. They just simply want Jesus to save them from their sin, but they don't want to have any rules and regulations from Jesus. I saw a picture on the internet not long ago of a young man holding up a sign, and it said, "Jesus is my Savior, not my religion." And the idea there is just simply that I want Jesus to save me. I want Jesus to love me. But I don't want him to be my religion in the sense of detailed things that I have to do for him or specific laws that I have to obey in order to be right with him. I don't want him to be a religion in the sense of daily having to think about all of the rules and requirements that the Lord has for me. I just want him to be my Savior. And that is a popular idea. And you know, it's kind of interesting that you'll hear people on TV or on the radio or other places, and they'll talk about Jesus being their Lord and Savior. Sometimes I've actually seen music artists will often thank Jesus during award shows as being their Lord and Savior, but they're known for drinking, they're known for profanity, they're known for adultery or fornication. And Jesus speaks against these things in his word, but they'll stand up and say, "I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for helping me get this award tonight." Well, it's just a statement, friend. It's just a slogan. It's just words that people say. But Jesus is not really their Lord. If he were, then they would obey him. Jesus said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. And so people like to think of Jesus as their Savior, but not so much as their Lord. And they often focus on Jesus the Savior, but not Jesus the Lord. In fact, he is both. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22, I'd like to read verses 41 through 45. Matthew chapter 22, verses 41 through 45. Jesus was talking with the religious leaders the last week of his ministry there in Jerusalem, just a few days before going to the cross. And Matthew records in Matthew 22, 41, "Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, 'What think ye of the Christ? Whose son is he?' They say unto him, 'The son of David.' He saith unto them, 'How then doth David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I put thine enemies under thy feet. If David then calleth him Lord, how is he his son?' And no one was able to answer him a word, neither dared any man from that day forth to ask him any more questions." Jesus quotes from Psalm 110 in verse 1, where David said in the Spirit, or by the Holy Spirit in inspiration, "The Lord," that's God, "said unto my Lord," that is Jesus. And so Jesus is Lord, but he's also the son of David in that he was of the lineage of David with regard to his humanity, but he was Lord with regard to his deity. The Pharisees believed that the coming Christ would be of the lineage of David, but they didn't believe that he would be deity. And so what Jesus is trying to do here is teach them that the Christ, Jesus, is both of the lineage of David and he is also Lord. He is also deity. So yes, he is a Savior in many places in Scripture. Jesus is described as a Savior. But do you know that Lord Jesus is found 115 times in the King James Version of the New Testament? 115 times, Lord Jesus. You see, we need to get back to understanding that Jesus is our Lord, and as such, He has authority. Yes, there is a law that comes from Jesus. There are commandments that come from Jesus. And that's the part that many people today just don't like. They want Jesus to save them, but they don't want to follow all of the rules and regulations and laws. And so this morning, friends, I'd like for us to consider the Lordship of Jesus Christ, because I believe that's a part of Jesus that gets less attention than Him being a Savior. That's the part of Jesus that gets neglected, I believe. Jesus is our Lord because He was God in the flesh. In Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul writes that Jesus was our Lord and is our Lord, and the demonstration of that is found in the resurrection. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 3, concerning His Son, that is Jesus, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, who was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, even Jesus Christ our Lord. And so, He was of the seed of David according to the flesh through the lineage of Mary, but He's also the Son of God. And because of that, He is our Lord. So He is both God and man. And He is the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 1, 4. The Lordship of Jesus was preached by Peter in the first gospel sermon that produced the beginning of the New Testament church in Acts chapter 2. When Peter was preaching, he preached the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to be willing to do that today. In Acts chapter 2, where that sermon is recorded on the day of Pentecost, Luke records the words of Peter as he was preaching, and we find in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 36, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God hath made Him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Notice that, Lord and Christ. Christ means anointed one. He was the Messiah. That's the Hebrew equivalent of the Greek Christ. He was the anointed one, anointed to come and save the world. But He's Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. So not one or the other, but both. And when Peter was preaching to the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, and he begins to preach that sermon in verse 36, "The word which He sent unto the children of Israel, preaching good tidings of peace by Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all." And then later in verse 48, He commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And notice that He commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, or by His authority. He is Lord of all, verse 36. And because He is Lord of all, by His authority, Peter baptized them into Christ. And notice in verse 48, He commanded them to be baptized. A lot of times people today say that baptism is not necessary for salvation, or baptism is not a commandment, or it's not something that you have to do to be saved. He commanded them to be baptized because it was absolutely necessary to be right with God. And that is one command that we need to obey. And if we have not obeyed that command, then we are yet in our sins. And not only did Peter preach the Lordship of Jesus, but Paul also preached the Lordship of Jesus. One example of that is found in Acts chapter 16, when Paul and Silas were in Philippi, and they're in jail there, and they're released from jail because of the earthquake, and the jailer is bothered by his own life, and he comes trembling for fear, and he falls down before Paul and Silas. In Acts 16, verse 30, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house." And they spake the word of the Lord unto him with all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and was washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his immediately. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. In order to have faith, we must hear. Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And so they were to believe on the Lord Jesus. So in order to do that, they spake the word of the Lord unto him so that he could hear that word and believe. And then a part of hearing the word was being baptized, verse 33. but they said, believe on the Lord Jesus, not just Jesus the man, Jesus the good Jew, Jesus the sage or the teacher, but Jesus the Lord and Christ. And so, friends, we need to get back to seeing Jesus as our Lord. He commands us, yes. He has authority over us, yes. In fact, the word Lord, the Greek kurios, means having power or authority. Having power or authority. And it's used in the New Testament in different realms with individuals who have different kinds of authority. For example, in Mark chapter 10 and verse 42, it deals with someone who has authority in government. He has authority over citizens. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 42, you know that they who are accounted to rule over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. So someone in a government position, a governor, a king, a Caesar at this time, they lord it over them. It means to have authority over citizens. Another place that is used would be regarding the master-servant relationship. If you turn to Luke chapter 14, beginning in verse 26, different masters had authority over their servants. In Luke chapter 14, we find this very kind of thing. In verse 23, in the parable of the great supper, and all things are ready, come to the feast. And we find in verse 23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and constrain them to come in that my house may be filled. The Lord, it's talking about the master of the house, the man who made the great supper and then had lordship over his servants to send them out to invite the people to the supper. In the husband and wife relationship, we're told in Ephesians chapter 5 that the husband is the head of the wife. And this goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 3 there, we find that the husband would rule over the wife, not in any kind of tyrannical way or a dictatorial type of way, but just as a headship, as an authoritative position. And that's why we find in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 6 where it says that Sarah obeyed Abraham calling him Lord. Just simply the master of the house, the one that has authority as a headship in the home and family. And then we find where it is used of Jesus Christ, where Jesus is Lord over all. We just read that earlier where Peter preaches that in Acts chapter 10 and verse 36, he is Lord over all, but he's Lord over all mankind. In Revelation chapter 17 and verse 14, where it talks about Jesus making war with those who are in the Roman government who are persecuting Christians. These shall war against the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. We find the same thing also in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 16. When the Lord Jesus comes to conquer, we find that he has on a garment and a name written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, friends, the lordship of Jesus, it's because he is both God and man. He is God in the flesh. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, the word Jesus was God. In verse 14, the Word became flesh. So Jesus is not just a Savior, he is also our Lord. And I want to talk a little bit this morning about the different areas of our life in which Jesus has lordship over and authority over those areas. First of all, Jesus has authority to require our whole lives. Turn with me to Romans chapter 14, verses 6 through 9. There's nothing in our life that is outside the authority of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 14, verses 6 through 9, the Apostle Paul writes, he that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord, and he that eateth unto the Lord, for he giveth God thanks, and he that eateth not unto the Lord, and eateth not and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and none dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. One thing that Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 14 are matters of judgment and personal scruple, whether or not a person wants to eat meat or eat vegetables. And we find that even in matters of personal scruple, we must do that in such a way that we are living honorably unto the Lord. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And Jesus is the Lord of both the dead and the living. Really, every aspect of our life, Jesus has authority over. And when you look at the various teachings in the New Testament, when you look at the epistles that are written to the churches, starting in the book of Romans and 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians, Philippians, so forth, or you look at the letters that were written to individuals, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus and Philemon, these all deal with how a Christian is supposed to live in the sight of the Lord. How are we to act in the local congregation? How are we to act in the home and family? How are we to act out in society? How are we to act within ourselves? All of this is given in the New Testament. Every aspect of our life is to be brought into the conformity of Jesus our Lord. Jesus also has authority to judge us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul said that people don't judge him, but the Lord does. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, "But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not myself, for I know nothing against myself, yet I am not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Wherefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring both to light the hidden things of darkness, and make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall each man have his praise from God." Jesus is going to come and judge us. And Paul said, that's all I'm concerned about, is that the Lord judges me. I'm not concerned about what man thinks about me. I'm not even concerned about what I think about myself. But I'm concerned about what Jesus says I am to be. And so that's a very important principle. We need to be opening up our Bibles and reading what Christ has for me in my life and obey Him. You know, Jesus is also the head over the church. He is the authority over the church. And friends, we need to think about this very seriously. There are those religions who have human heads on the earth that govern them. It might be a pope, it might be a president, it might be a leader of a particular church. And the problem with that is, we read in Ephesians chapter 1, that Jesus is the head over the body. Just think about your own personal body. How many heads are on top of your body? Just one. There's just one head. Not two heads, not more. There's not a head and then something underneath the head and then the body. There are some religions that say, well, Jesus is the head of the church, but there's a man on the earth that is his representative. No, there's nothing like that in Scripture. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22, he, God, put all things in subjection under his, Jesus, feet, and gave him, Jesus, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That is the authority. There is just one body and one head. And later in chapter 4 and verse 5, we read, there is one body, one spirit, one hope of your calling, one Lord, that's Jesus, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And so, he is the head of the body. The head gives directions. We get our directions from Jesus Christ, and his direction is given in his word. One of the biggest things that was brought about in the Reformation period in the 1500s and 1600s, people were getting away from the human head that was represented in the Catholic Church, and they said, we don't need someone between us and Jesus, just Jesus is our head, and we get our directions directly from him in his word. And so there was a call to get back to the Bible and come back to the Bible and follow Jesus, the head, not a man-made or earthly head. And we want and appeal to our religious friends to do that very thing. Why? Because Jesus is Lord. No man on earth is. And Jesus has authority to issue commands. As Lord, He gives commands. And when you look at the Gospels of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you look at the book of Acts, you look at all of the epistles, all of the 27 books of the New Testament contain commands. And that's something that a lot of people don't like to think about. But commands must be obeyed. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, "Finally then, brethren, we beseech you and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you receive us of how you ought to walk and to please God, even as you do walk, that you may abound more and more, for you know what charge we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from fornication." And he goes on to talk about things involving fornication. But notice what he says there, that we have received how you ought to walk and to please God, for you know what charge we gave you through the Lord Jesus. That is an authority. The Apostle Paul gave charges through the Lord Jesus. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the Apostle Paul writes there, "If any man thinketh," 1 Corinthians 14:37, "if any man thinketh himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him take knowledge of the things which I write unto you, that they are the commandment of the Lord." They're not Paul's opinion or Paul's human wisdom or Paul's philosophy. He was inspired by the Lord, by Christ, to present the commandments of the Lord. At the beginning of the book, the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12, 13, 14, 15, that what he was writing was the very mind of God. And it's not just his opinion. And in Romans chapter 2, Paul talks about that Christ is going to come, verse 16, "in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men according to my gospel by Jesus Christ." The gospel that Paul preached was the very word of Christ. And so we need to remember that kind of thing. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16, we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ, and they are the commandments of the Lord. And so not just opinions. When we open up the New Testament, it's not just take it or leave it, or that's just your opinion. They are the commandments of the Lord. You know, if we truly accept Jesus' Lordship, we are going to obey Him. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" And that's really true of today. Many people talk about Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but they don't do what Jesus says to do. They just give lip service to that. We want to be more than that, friends. We want to be genuine followers of Christ and open up our Bibles and read those things and actually do what Jesus tells us to do. In the judgment day, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, there are going to be those who in the judgment day are going to say, "Lord, Lord, did we not do this and did we not do that?" And in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 23, "Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work lawlessness or iniquity." People go around today saying, "Lord, Lord," claiming this and claiming that. But in the judgment day, Jesus is going to say, "Depart from me." Why? Because you have worked iniquity or lawlessness. Just claiming that Jesus is our Lord and just saying that does not mean that we're actually following Him. And so the test is actually to obey Him. Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments," in John chapter 14 and John chapter 15. "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." You see, I think sometimes people think that Jesus just gives some nice, loving words of encouragement. Well, He does, but He also gives commandments, and we need to be obeying those kinds of things. If we truly accept Jesus' Lordship, we will obey Him. If we truly preach Jesus' Lordship, we must preach obedience to Him. In Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus sent His apostles into all the world, He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Look at this. "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. If we accept Jesus' Lordship, we need to obey Him. If we preach Jesus' Lordship, we need to tell others to obey Him as well, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And that's one thing that's lacking today. People just certainly are not teaching others to observe the commandments of Jesus. That's the part of Jesus' life that is being ignored. We do not have a right to change, ignore, or defy the Lord Jesus' words. We do not have a right to turn to man's word for our authority. We basically just push the Bible off to the side and listen to what man says. And people do that today. My preacher says, my reverend says, my pastor says, the Pope says, the president says, etc., etc., and we do not check what Jesus says in His Word. And that would be true of even myself, friend. Each week on the Let the Bible Speak program, I would encourage you to follow the New Testament, follow what Jesus is teaching. And if I'm teaching something that is erroneous, I would ask that you bring that to my attention. Please do that. You would be my friend. I want to only teach and preach what the Lord Jesus does. And so, the Lordship of Jesus. You know, are modern preachers really preaching the Lord Jesus when they say, receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and then turn right around and take away things that Jesus said to do? We cannot be preaching the Lordship of Jesus unless we preach what Jesus actually said to do. Some people say you don't have to be baptized. But Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Mark 16, verse 16. Some people say, well, you don't have to take the Lord's Supper. But Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. That's a command. Do this in remembrance of me. Luke 22:19. Talk about rebellion to authority. Anytime we take away Jesus' commandments and say, well, we don't have to do those things today, that's rebellion to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, friends, let's never be guilty of that. As we close, Jesus is Lord. Let us faithfully obey His Lordship. And when He tells us to repent and be baptized, when He tells us to confess His name before men, Romans 10, 9 and 10, and wash away our be baptized and wash away our sins in water, Acts 22, 8 through 16, let us do that. Let us remain true to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 11, verses 20 through 23, the Christians in Antioch, they followed the Lord Jesus Christ and they were faithful to Him. Let us daily serve under His Lordship when He asks us to do things like the Apostle Paul in Acts 20, verses 18 through 24. Whatever the Lord Jesus asked of Paul, he did that. And that's a great example for us today. And let us daily preach His Lordship to others. When Paul was put in prison, we find in Acts chapter 28 and verse 31, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness, none forbidding. And that's what I've tried to do this morning. That's what we need to do. Be bold about preaching the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus is our Savior, but He is our Lord and Savior. He is our Lord and Christ. And because of that, let us be obeying His commands and let us be submitting to His Lordship. If we can help you to do that, if we can encourage you to do that, if you want to know more about how to do that, contact us. The information is given at the close of this program. Write us, call us, email me. That information is given. I would love to hear from you. If we can study together, if we can help you, let us all submit to the Lordship of Jesus. So when He comes again, we can bow before Him in the judgment day and be ready to enter into His kingdom. If you need the help, if we can get together, please contact me. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Let the Bible Speak program, and have a good day.